More on these stories at townhall.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Lateman. A man from St. Augustine will spend the rest of his life in prison for trying to kill a St. Johns County Sheriff's deputy. 42-year-old Brad Germain was found guilty in November of pointing a loaded homemade pipe gun at the officer in St. Johns County, and now the judge has imposed a life sentence. Germain is a felon with a long record, including other convictions for battery on a law enforcement officer. A craft beer brewery in Brunswick is for sale after less than a year in business. The Hop Soul Brewery was Brunswick's first when it opened last March. Now, its owners tell a local beer publication that they have just too much going on to keep it going. The asking price for the Hop Soul Brewery is $250,000. That includes the brewery and also an attached pizzeria. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. On I-295 South on the ramp to North Main Street, a truck carrying hazardous materials was involved in an accident with injuries. Right now, the off-ramp's left lane's blocked. Plan on slowdown if you're going through that direction. On 10 East at Lenox Avenue, there's backup, and Butler Boulevard at San Pablo, traffic's building there. Sunny to partly cloudy today and a high of 72. This evening, cloudy, 62 the low. Right now, 43 here at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With Iran's missiles missing the target at a U.S. base in Iraq, the Pentagon confirms they were trying to kill Americans. A group of Florida students are suing the state over climate change. And Democrats in the U.S. Senate are telling House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send over the articles of impeachment.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
4 minutes after 7 a.m., Adam Anchieski from OpenTheBooks.com just sent me a text. I think his dad is in the hospital. I said, hey, we said a prayer for you guys. So he will not be joining us later today.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get him down for a big event coming up in April. So he was supposed to be at a Christmas party and something had come up. Something always comes up. Does it not happen that way? Anyway, hey, it's good morning. Coming up on 5 minutes after 7 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. A lot of topics. A lot of state, national, local issues we'll bring to you as we do all the way and every day to 9 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's continue on with the news. Roger, coming up next week, the legislative session for 2020. We're going to be over there, by the way. We're doing the radio show from over there.
Okay.
And we're going to be interviewing, I think, with the governor and some other people. But Governor Ron DeSantis, the session kicks up next week, says that one of his biggest issues, and I love this idea, President Trump, he's done a tremendous job when it comes to deregulation, when it comes to barbers, when it comes to hairstylists and other areas out there. All of this occupational licensing, there's too much that has been taking place. ABC News.
Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing lawmakers to simplify the licensing requirements for certain occupational jobs. Now, people that need those licenses include barbers, cosmetologists, nurses, counselors, electricians, to name just a few. The governor's proposal would eliminate or reduce training hours required for some jobs, prevent the Department of Business from denying licenses based on defaulted or late student loan payments, and allow certain license holders in other states to be immediately qualified here.
Now, here's the question before I get to the governor. I mean, do we really need all these environmental? For environmental purposes, yeah, in some cases. Do we need all of these regulations? It's not like the nurse may be standing and sitting next to the MD that's performing that life-threatening surgery. It could be another nurse at a lower end. I'm not putting down nurses out there. There are certain stages of what nurses do.
Yeah, there's like LPN, RPN,
like doctors nurses, out there. Yeah. And this is a big debate, but the question is, should barbers have how many hours in hairstyles, hundreds to thousands of hours in order and the cost to get an occupational license is out there? And I've always asked this question to you out there listening. Tell me an occupational license that maybe we don't have enough requirements on, or give me some that maybe we have too much requirements on. Here's what the governor had to say.
Florida's occupational licensing system needs to be overhauled. If you look, I think it's legitimate to have the regulations or right licensing requirement if it's protecting consumers or if it's protecting the safety of the public. 2,000 hours just to get a license to become a barber, Is that really? I mean, if it was 1,000 hours, would somehow the public be at risk because of that?
I think that's a valid question. So I always ask this, do we need all of these occupational licenses? I understand being bonded and insured, and I understand that you do that for not get sued reasons. I understand all that. But my question, and Roger brings up a very interesting point, one of the biggest proponents to keep all of this around are those that are already in the business because they don't want the competition. Yeah. I get that,
too. Yeah, they've already gone through their training, so they figure any newcomer needs to go through the same training they did.
That's
pay
right.
The same money, and that way they can have, you know, less competition when it comes to people needing their services.
And Roger, and I'm a free market guy, and I admit to this, and it's one of my favorite quotes, the goal of every free market guy is to become a monopoly.
Yeah, become a monopoly. But another problem that I see, you know, and part of what the governor is trying to revise is revoking these licenses. If people are defaulting on their student loans, how are you going to pay your bills in the first place if you can't work?
So the question is to you out there listening, you tell me a license you think we're overdoing it on, that maybe you're saying, Ed, I'm not saying we don't need to have an occupational license, but there's too much requirements, too much cost. Should we have all of this cost when it comes to hairstylists? Should we have all of this occupational, some would say, regulations when it comes to a barber? Or tell me an area where you think we don't have enough regulation on. That's what I would always like to enjoy hearing from the audience out there. The Iranian strike at the U.S. base that happened Tuesday night, how all of it went down. U.S. intelligence says, hey, despite that some of the equipment that the Iranian army was using is outdated, their goal was to kill Americans.
U.S. officials say Iran warned Iraq ahead of the missile strike because Tehran did not want to kill Iraqi forces. The Iraqis in turn warned their American military counterparts, but the American military had already known for hours that Iran was planning to launch the missile strike by intercepting chatter. It included layers of surveillance, satellites that can detect the second the missile motor sparks, infrared images that alert U.S. forces immediately. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs said he believed the Iranians wanted to kill Americans.
Now, here's it. I'm going to ask you, and this is a trick question. Let's put it this way. To you out there, is a lot of the blame for the activity that's been going on by Iran with the terrorism attacking U.S. soldiers and other interests, is President Obama to be blamed on this issue? What do you say, Roger? That's a trick question.
Mm.
And I'm not going to give an answer yet.
I don't think so.
I think you might be right. Oh, Ed, you're talking. No. First off, was it really $150 billion? And now, Obama used the same numbers, by the way, $150 billion. Actually, the numbers thought was more 50 to 60. Hundreds of millions and billions of dollars did go to Iran for the Iran nuclear deal. It was a bad deal. But is it too easy to blame Obama for the attacks from Iran?
I'm not into blaming people who didn't do it. You know, I say it was really General Soleimani's, you know, problem. He was the one orchestrating the attack at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, trying to burn it down, battering rams.
I'm with you.
Being over all that, he's the reason.
But Roger, now listen, they have gotten billions of dollars because we have unfrozen assets, by the way.
Yeah, which technically was their money. We were just not letting them withdraw it from our account.
Whose money?
It was the Iranian government's money.
Which Iranian government?
The former Shah left the money the government with all the money in the government treasury.
Hold on, wait.
And they wanted it back. That's one of the reasons why they took the embassy.
Hold on. The government at that time, it was their money. The new government that came in, it wasn't their money.
Couldn't there be an argument that if it's the government's money, regardless of who the government is at the time, any legitimate government assets.
Was it a legitimate government that took it over? I'm having fun with you today. But here's the other question. When you take American hostages, guess what? When you break the law, let's just put it this way, folks. I want to get legalese here, and I'm not trying to impress you.
Well, the hostages were released, but go ahead.
Yeah, but we're already frozen their assets, and they still haven't apologized for everything else. So what I'm getting at, excuse me, when you do something wrong, the government takes your money. Is it still technically your money? It's the government's money.
If it's a fine, it's not your money anymore.
Okay,
just temporarily
freezing their assets.
And by the way, we didn't apologize for, you know, overthrowing their democratically elected government in 1953 and installing the Shah, asking for. Well, that was one of the things they were asking to release the hostages back in the 70s.
But here's the trick question. Is Obama to be blamed, or is the Iran nuclear deal, and I like to hear your analysts because I have a different view, and yes, it's a trick question. Is President Obama and or the administration, former Obama administration, are they to be blamed for what has taken place in funding terrorism, especially this one? Yes or no? And I like to hear the views on this one. Here's President Trump. He says Iran is standing down.
Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world.
Is it a good thing for the world? I would think so as well, but not the Democrats. Listen to this Fox News where the squad has said that there was no imminent threat to have this illegal assassination against General Soleimani last week.
But Democrats, heavily invested in public opposition to the president's actions against Soleimani, were not convinced there was an imminent threat.
President Trump recklessly assassinated Qasem Soleimani. He had no evidence of an imminent threat or attack.
Roger brings up a great point. They were attacking U.S. bases, ramming them.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Embassy, excuse me.
And by the way, past aggressions as well. Here's the thing. I like what Congressman John Rutherford, one of my favorites here in the state of Florida, he said to that lady, he says, hey, I was at the same briefing you were, and to you and your Ayatollah squad sympathizers.
Right.
I like that right there. But listen to the night of the Iranian airstrikes against the U.S. base that didn't kill any Americans. Listen to how the media responded.
This is a president who is impulsive and doesn't think through the implications of his actions. This could have been a massive catastrophe of proportions that we just can't fully appreciate. And so this was a dangerous night at the casino.
Trump. It was a dangerous night at the casino.
Only here at this moment, this very dangerous moment, because of Donald Trump's impulses.
These kinds of world-changing and historic calamities.
We're at the early stages of a hot war. It is a monumental moment.
So here's the question. It's like predicting a recession. Oh, it's going to be 2022. No, then it's going to be 2021. 2020. They thought it's going to be 2019. Sooner or later, yes, one's going to happen. Oh, because all of these individuals in the media, I like to ask the question, where's the war? Well, it's going to happen. Talk about what you said at that current time.
Right.
That's the question I would like to ask. Coming up next, Dems on the issue of impeachment. Also, the issue of concealed carry permits. Should we leave it to the states to enact their own gun laws without reciprocity? Again, you're going to get in trouble. Or should we have a one-size-fits-all because it's a constitutional amendment, at least the Second Amendment, but should we have a one-size-fits-all to transport, whether you're a concealed weapons permit or you're legally allowed to own a gun?
In one state.
Should you be able to go to another state without their own laws being in effect? Should it be a one-size-fits-all? Or some have said, what about states' rights? We'll have all of this issue coming up next. 831-0600. So here's the trick question. I think there's a yes and no response to this. Is the Iran nuclear deal and the millions into the billions of dollars that was given to the Iranian government, and yes, there were pallets of money, folks. Wall Street Journal even reported this, LA Times. Is this to be blamed for the terrorist activity from the Iranian government? There is a yes and no response to that. My question to you, is it to be laid and blamed at the feet of Barack H. Obama? Some could say yes. In some cases, I would say no. And the reason why there is, I may tell you the reason why I would say no coming up next. It's a little bit of semantics, Roger.
All right.
So 831-0600, 904-831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
And if you're at I-295 South on the north end of town, at the Main Street exit, a vehicle that was transporting hazardous materials involved in an injury accident. The off-ramp's left lane is blocked. And if you're on the Buckman Bridge going toward Mandarin this morning, look out for a broken down car.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, Tanner?
It's just another wonderful day at the New Balance store. Working with clientele who have specific footwear needs is really rewarding to me. With all the styles, sizes, and widths we carry, plus our computerized state-of-the-art 3D foot scanner can help you find your perfect fit in footwear and custom art supports. Everyone leaves with a smile on their face. I didn't even mention the one-on-one customer service that we offer.
I know. That's why I'm a repeat customer at the New Balance store.
Experience the difference at the New Balance store, where their highly trained specialists measure every aspect of your foot and gait for a custom fit like you've never had before. The New Balance store carries sizes from 5 to 18 and widths from 2A to 6E. With a huge selection of styles and colors recommended by healthcare professionals, the New Balance store in Orange Park at 1871 Wells Road, across from the Orange Park Mall, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Get the perfect fit at the New Balance store, Wells Road, across from the Orange Park Mall.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
Ask an attorney about Florida.
WBOB and The Answer invites you to join Joseph Pippin Saturday mornings at 8. He'll answer your questions about Florida state planning, Medicaid, divorce, family law, guardianship, adoption, tax law, and personal injury. Call attorney Joe Pippin Saturday mornings at 8. Right here, WBOB, The Answer.
Sunny to partly cloudy today. Our high will be 72. This evening, cloudy, and an overnight low of 62 is expected. Right now, 43 degrees at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new study finds that alcohol-related deaths in the U.S. have more than doubled over the past 20 years. More states are looking to increase online sports gambling. And the U.S. Senate may be taking up a bill that would allow gun owners to transport their firearms across state lines.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Florida's occupational licensing system needs to be overhauled. If you look, I think it's legitimate to have the regulations or right licensing requirement if it's protecting consumers or if it's protecting the safety of the public. 2,000 hours just to get a license to become a barber? Is that really? I mean, if it was 1,000 hours, would somehow the public be at risk?
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, 19 minutes after 7 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson.
Almost forgot my name, huh?
No. Just look at everybody's email. I got a bunch of Rons that are emailing me this morning. Okay. Anyway, Governor Ron DeSantis says that he really wants to go after and deregulate a lot of these industries, from therapists to nurses to hairstylists out there. My question to you, one of the questions at 831-0600, 904-831-0600, is, do we need to keep these regulations in place? I mean, I'd like to hear the pros and cons of this. Is it more about the cost? Do we need to have everybody licensed out there when it comes to doing business? And why? Is it being fearful of lawsuits? Or my question to you, because a lot of emails are coming. Here's one from Ron. I got several Rons. Like, I had a bunch of Michaels yesterday. Ron says, Ed, why do I need the Florida state government or the feds to tell me I have to be licensed in order to do a job that I went to school for? Here's another one. Here's one from Ronald. Hey, Ed, I understand what the governor's saying about the importance of safety, but if we need to only do 40 to 50 hours work to get a license in some areas where we can be properly trained, why do I need 100 to 100 plus to 1,000 hours if we have continuing education every 2 years?
Continuing education, that's key. You know, as opposed to, you know, that's a lot of time. 2,000 hours to cut someone's hair, when really it's less about the science and more about the art, I believe, that's going to end up driving people to a particular barber. This guy do a good job.
Yeah. So the question is, tell me an industry. I'd love to hear your view. Tell me an industry you think that we have too much occupational licensing that maybe we don't need. Okay, let's play this game. Let me ask this question. Let's say that we don't believe you need an occupational license to do this. I mean, a business license. I get that. We're talking an occupational license. You got to go to extra schooling for all this type of stuff.
I don't think anyone opposes having the license. It's what's required to maintain it, I think, is the issue.
Well, let me ask it on this front. You may be correct. So let's ask it this way. Tell me an industry or certain areas where you think we don't need to have occupational licenses. Okay.
Okay.
Or let me ask it this way. Tell me an industry we say, you know, Ed, I think we need them, but I don't think we need all of this extra amount of hours in order for them to get their licenses. For example, should cosmetologists, hairstylists, barbers, should they have to go to a couple thousand hours worth of schooling when it comes to people's hair? What about those in the financial industry? What about those in the construction industry? What about those in nursing out there? Tell me, what about drivers, CDL drivers out there? Do we need to have all of this licensing to take place? That's my question to you at 831-0600-904-831-0600.
Mark Meadows from North Carolina, he tweeted this. Number of drone strikes by President Obama's administration, 571. But very conveniently, you only hear Speaker Pelosi and Democrats calling for limiting the president's war powers when it's Donald Trump who uses a drone strike to take out Qasem Soleimani. President Obama's administration frequently conducted airstrikes in Syria. Pelosi was silent. No calls for congressional authorization. The feigned hypocritical outrage you're seeing from Democrats now is because a Republican is in the White House.
That's us host a special report. Brett Baer, with the bottom line, he was asking the question, why is it, where were the Democrats outraged when President Obama, which was fine with me, was killing terrorists, over 600 almost, in Iraq, Iran, by the way, Syria. Of course, the liberal left says, well, wait a second. They were authorized for Afghanistan and Iraq, but technically for terrorists. I don't remember Syria being there. Yeah. But if Syria was included, why can't you include Iran?
Somalia?
Yeah, Somalia. All these
areas. Yemen.
Yeah, great point. Great point on that one. 831-0600-904-831-0600. JC, what's going on this morning?
Hey, I just got a couple examples on the licensing thing.
Sure.
So in Georgia, to be a roofer, it takes nothing to become a roofer in Georgia. In Florida, it's a lot more complicated, and you're a lot more safer, I think, in Florida in that regard. Now, I had a vending business in Georgia, and it was easy to operate. I moved it to Florida, and there's a licensing process that you had to go through, and the cost involved in it made it not profitable to do vending. So I had to shut down a vending business. The other thing, you've heard the Serve Safe or Safe Serve certification, the national certification. Well, like in Georgia, you have that certification, you're good. In Florida, you have to have that plus a Florida one. You know, the only thing government can do well is steal. So why can't the Florida government use the ServSafe certification and not their own and cut that bureaucracy out and save us, you know, more money in our paycheck?
JC, this is almost a duh question on my part, not on you. Here's my question to you, and I think there's probably some value to this, and Roger would probably agree, but your view, do you believe, and again, this is a duh question, it was more expensive, you said, to do more business in Georgia. A lot of that I would have to assume is lobbied, and I get it, by the business community, because even though you live up here in Northeast Florida, you can do business in Georgia just as easy. They don't want you coming over, so let's put more restrictions on you.
I mean, I don't know. It seems it's hard. In some ways, it's hard to do business in Florida.
But it's easy. Okay, I think you said it was tougher to do some areas in Georgia.
Well, vending, it's easier. Roofing, it's harder, but I think it's a good idea in Florida, you know, to have more, you have to be more certified. Because in Georgia, you're not as safe if you hire a roofer. I think you're more safe in Florida hiring a roofer.
Hold on, JC, so here's the question. More certification means you have a safer roof?
Well, I would think so. I mean, you know, you make sure this guy is qualified to build a roof. I mean, that's a pretty important thing, where in Georgia, you just fill out a piece of paper and you're a roofer.
Interesting. All right, JC, I appreciate
it. Pluses and minuses.
I get it, man. Hey, man, thanks for calling. I enjoy the story. I don't know if that's the case. More certification means you get a safer roof. I mean, I know people that have more education. They're not that bright. If you don't believe me, look what's going on in Congress. Let's go to Tim. Hey, Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Ed, great show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say I'm an airbrush artist, and I airbrush on everything from temporary airbrush tattoos to motorcycles and everything in between.
Wow.
But if I decided I wanted to start airbrushing makeup on brides and bridesmaids, didn't make me get a cosmetology license. It's just my regular business.
Really?
Yes, sir. Isn't that crazy?
Tim, can you imagine if you picked up? And I'm sure you've been. I'm sure you've had this offer to you. You've done such a great job in all this. And let's say a bride goes, "Hey, Tim, I'd like to have you." You mean if they offer, they ask you to pay you a boatload of money, Tim? Tim, I want you because I think you do a great job. Would you technically be committing a crime?
Yes, sir. I would be, because then I'd leave myself open for lawsuits.
Wow, that is, I think that's ridiculous, Tim. Hey, Tim, I'm not asking, I'm just asking, would you, I mean, come on, this is so petty, but if it was the right amount of money, would you do it, or would you sit back and go, nah, I don't want to be sued?
No, well, you know what, I've bought the makeup and sat around and practiced on my wife with it, but I, as far as that part of it goes, I just don't think, I don't know, I probably would.
She's going
to
sue you.
I just have to be real discreet.
Yeah, be real discreet. Tim, what a good story. I'm glad you called this morning.
Interesting.
All right, thank you, sir. I hope you all have a great day.
Yeah, you too. That is a good, that is an interesting story, one right there. Let's go to James. Hey, James, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, great. Good morning, brother.
Good, brother. Hey, look, I voted for Governor DeSantis, but I'm going to call him out on this.
Okay.
I'm going to call him out. Look, he needs to clean up his own state of Florida agencies first, and I'll tell you the reason why. Not only is the permitting process kind of ridiculous sometimes, but let's say an FHP officer wants a part-time job as a security guard after work in his own area. Guess what? He can't do it. They call that a conflict of interest. The man has got, you know what we make. State of Florida employees don't make a whole lot of money. They try to get a part-time job in something they know how to do, and they can't even do it. They're not allowed to do it. Here's another one. Forester working in the same area as on a part-time job on a Saturday or Sunday, let's doing wildlife management on some property. He can't do it if he's a state of Florida forester. That's really ridiculous. I mean, clean up his own state agencies first, then clean up the rest of the private sector. That's what he needs to do.
All right. Hey, James, I think we're going to be talking to him next week. I was talking to his people, and we're going to Tallahassee next week, and we're going to be interviewing him. That's a good question. I think what the governor's proposed also, to a little bit of what James was saying, is that he's going to look at these departments and sit back and go, why in the world are we telling – I think it would be a great question. Who is overseeing these occupational licenses requirements? Is it the business community or is it a government bureaucrat?
I wonder, that would seem like it would be the agriculture commissioner, right?
Well, I understand that part, but I'm seeing the overall, like for licenses, for hairstylists, cosmetologists, roofing, the financial world. Who is like who's overseeing this? Is this input from the business community? Maybe some of you can answer this at 904-831-0600. Who is setting these regulations or advising them? Is it coming from the business community or is it coming from a government bureaucrat or a boatload of those in the cosmetology industry or other areas that sit back and say, no, we need all of these regulations? I don't know. Maybe some of you can educate me. 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A top European Union official is urging Iran's president to avoid what he calls irreversible acts potentially fatal to the Iran nuclear deal aimed at preventing the country from developing nuclear weapons. European Council President spoke with Iran's president ahead of a meeting of EU foreign affairs ministers to assess rising tensions between the U.S. and Iran. The forecast calls for more severe fire damage in southern Australia. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says it's already been the country's most deadly fire season ever, with close to 30 lives lost already. Temperatures in the threatened areas expect to reach more than 110 degrees Fahrenheit tomorrow, with conditions on the ground still tinder dry. Inspectors have discovered that about 40% of apartments at a North Carolina public housing community where residents have been hospitalized and two babies have died had appliances that were emitting carbon monoxide. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lademan. FHP investigating two deadly interstate crashes. A 10-year-old boy died on I-10. An eastbound 18-wheeler crossed the median and hit a Honda van that was going west near milepost 346 just after 8 Tuesday night. The boy, identified as Eli Warren, was a passenger in that van. The driver, 45-year-old Ralea Warren, was seriously hurt, while the truck driver was not injured. Troopers are still not sure why the truck went across the median. Another crash, this one on I-95, killed a Putnam County man whose tow truck hit a semi that was parked near the rest area ramp in southern St. Johns County early Tuesday morning.
Darren Grenswick was the father of three and had another child on the way. Family and friends of Jacksonville's first homicide victim of 2020 say he was a good student and a good athlete. He was far too young to die. 18-year-old Malik Brown was shot in Grand Park Friday, the victim, police say, of a robbery. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. At I-295 South on the north end of town, the Main Street exit, an accident involving, it looks like, a hazardous materials truck. Plan on delay. 295 South on the Buckman Bridge as you make your way toward Mandarin, a car stalled. 95 North at Southside, another car broken down on the right. And if you are on 95 North before Southside, there's been an accident. Sunny today, a high of 72, partly cloudy this evening, 62 the low. Right now it's 43 at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With Iran's missiles missing the target at a U.S. base in Iraq, the Pentagon confirms they were trying to kill Americans. A group of Florida students are suing the state over climate change. And Democrats in the U.S. Senate are telling House Speaker Pelosi to send over the articles of impeachment.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600. 831-0600 or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Don't forget, coming up after the morning show, we got some great podcasts. In other words, some things you may or may not hear on the air. We kind of do it a little bit differently, a little fast paced, no commercials. Just go to wbob.com. Roger, all they got to do is click on where it says Ed Dean Extra, because I guess I am a little extra. So anyway, it's going to happen. You catch it anytime, but we prefer you to do it right after the morning show. By the way, thousands of you listen to the show on your smartphones. I get a lot of emails from the smartphones and Android phones. Download. It is a free app. You're not going to sit around waiting for some pop-up. We're not going to charge you. Just go to WBOB.com. That's WBOB.com and download the radio app. It is free. And put it on your smartphones, your Android phones. Also go to Facebook.com/WBOB and like the page. All right, let's continue on with the news. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. I want to get back to this impeachment thing real quick. Listen to Fox News host a special report. Brett Baer says that Senate Democrats, so there may be some disruption. They're not happy with Nancy Pelosi. They want her now to send over the articles of impeachment.
Including Senators Feinstein, Blumenthal, Manchin, Tester, and Coons on the Democratic side, who say to Nancy Pelosi, it's time to send over these articles of impeachment. It's time to move on. The House said one of the reasons they voted on impeachment like they did is because it was urgent. It was necessary. It was fast. Had to happen because there was a threat to the election in 2020.
In fact, we brought up that argument right around the holidays. Why? I mean, why did they wait? Well, Ed, it's the holidays. We need time. Well, wait a second. If there's anything that's important, we've had government shutdowns where Congress up to Christmas Eve has made sure that the government's still running. Yeah. If this was such an urgency out there, why didn't they present this right around the Christmas season? I mean, they did have the impeachment technically near Christmas Eve, but why didn't they have it over the holidays to bring this to the articles of impeachment to the U.S. Senate? On CNN, listen to the Washington Post. This is her name, Sung Min Kim. She's a national reporter for the Washington Post. She says, and I may have a different take on this, but nobody cares about my opinion. I care about yours. She says that Pelosi is losing members of her own party by stalling the articles of impeachment to the U.S. Senate.
Pelosi doesn't have a lot of leverage here. And I think the fact that she's losing members of her own party in the Senate, these senators come from the most liberal flank of the caucus to the most moderate, who are all saying, let's get this going. We have a job to do. Let's just get this trial moving and just get it over with.
Roger, I have my own take. And let me just lay this out. They say this was on CNN and some of the other publications. There may be, there's no unity now with this impeachment thing going on. Nancy Pelosi was so urgent because of democracy. Now she's stalling this. You got very liberal senators. You just heard the clip on CNN. Very liberal senators that are demanding the articles of impeachment to come over. I have a different take. I'll tell you mine before I ask you yours.
Okay.
Because you may have a different one. Is this something, and my question to you out there listening, I want to know what your take is on this as well. Do you believe that this is because this is not going well for the Democrats? Voters just aren't talking about it. Let's just get it done with. We know it's not going to go anywhere. I think that would be what some people would believe. I have a little bit of a different take. I wonder, Because none of these Democrats are fans of President Trump. They can't even agree with him after he kills a terrorist. I'm of the mindset, which is conspiratorial. I know I'm already getting emails on this. I am of the mindset, I think they want it to come over so they can use it as more politics to embarrass the president. Or am I wrong? What do you think?
You know, I think it's political. I think it's for a different reason. I think they see momentum heading in the president's favor right now, despite everything the media is trying to do, especially after what's happened in Iraq and no American lives were lost there. And I think they wanted to get it over with now, as opposed to having it looming as they head into their campaign
reelections. I think a lot of people would agree. I'm just of a different mindset. I think they just want it so they can embarrass the president more. At least my take, and I could be wrong on that, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They love to embarrass the president. Why would they stop?
Yeah, well, maybe they think they could, if it hurts their reelection chances, they'd probably want to get it out of the way as quickly as possible.
One of the issues that we always talk about on this radio show, because it's very, it's a popular topic, of course, is the issue of guns. Now there's a new bill being introduced in the U.S. Senate that may be getting a vote about whether or not we should be easing restrictions gun owners, law-abiding gun owners, when they are on vacation, Roger, or they're going hunting or whatever, let's say you go from Florida to Georgia or to other states, when you're transporting your firearm across state lines, oh, and you get pulled over, ma'am or sir, do you have a gun on you? And you have a concealed weapons permit, or let's say that your gun is maybe not in the suitcase in the trunk, but it's maybe underneath the in the glove compartment. Oh, that's against our state laws. Oh, that's against our local gun laws here. Should law-abiding gun owners have to go to jail? This bill that's now being presented by Senator Steve Daines from the state of Montana. Here's more on this subject. Are you ready for this? From PBS.
One of nine states and the District of Columbia that don't recognize other states' concealed carry laws. One North Carolina congressman proposes to allow qualified concealed gun owners from one state to carry and possess in another state that permits concealed carry, the same way one state recognizes another's driver's licenses. Both Florida and Utah issue concealed carry permits to non-residents. Gun rights advocates say concealed carry reciprocity is long overdue, but gun control advocates say the bill is a dream for the gun lobby and a nightmare for public safety.
A nightmare for public safety. Wow, there you go. So I wanted to play this clip because the question I like to ask is, should we just have, now I understand about what the Second Amendment is, but the Second Amendment is also very quiet on parts of the Second Amendment. Okay. We all want to admit to that.
Right.
So is the freedom of speech in some cases. There are laws against freedom of speech, like you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't verbally abuse a judge. You can't verbally, some state laws, you can't verbally abuse the police because it's considered a crime.
Yeah.
So don't act like it's a blanket, hey, I can do whatever I want. Having said this, my question to you, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you're going, let's say there's some, like for example, in the state of New York, you have a gun law and New York City may have stricter gun control laws. So that's my question. Let's talk about Georgia or other states. There's two sides of this question I'm asking. If you're a concealed, like me, I'm a concealed carry permit holder. Should you be able, a federal law that sits back and says, I can go from one state to the other without, if I get pulled over, I can't go to jail? Or should it also apply to law-abiding, you don't have a concealed weapons carry permit, but hey, I want to do it for protection. There may be a hurricane coming, whatever. I want to go into another state. I'm putting my gun. It may not be in the suitcase and in the back seat or the trunk, but it's concealed. It's like under my floor mat.
Right.
Okay, but that's not good enough for some states. But again, you have concealed carry permit, or should it just be anybody who's a law-abiding gun citizen? They can go into another state without fear that they're going to go to jail.
I'm married in Florida. If I go to Georgia, I'm still married, even though my license is from Florida. Now, different states have different laws with respect to maybe the age that they allow you to get married with parental consent and that kind of thing. You're still married from state to state to state. It would seem like a natural thing to allow any state license to be recognized by any other state.
So that would seem to be very plausible, but marriage is not in the Constitution.
That's true.
When you think about it. Guns are. But having said that, certain aspects of dealing with guns are left to the states. Listen to this, the opponents of this. This is Robert Moore. He's with the Coalition for Peace Action. Don't you like it? By the way, you ever notice it's never P-E-A-C-E? It's like, I want a piece of you. That's the piece they're looking for. He says, wait a second, to all of you right-wing conservatives out there, isn't this a trample on states' rights?
This is the other irony of this, is that it flies in the face of what is usually a cardinal rule for Republicans, something that they believe is very, very important in terms of states' rights. This tramples on those. It's a Wild West fantasy.
So he goes, it's a Wild West fantasy. Wait a second. Does he have a point? This is a violation of the state's rights. For example, does the Second Amendment carte blanche covers everything when it comes to guns? Some would say yes, some would say no. Does it cover ages? No. Does it cover what type of guns? No. Should that be left to the states, or whatever is quiet? And Judge Napolitano and Mark Levin have said this, what the Constitution is quiet on, the interpretation should be left to the states. Should the states be able to put age requirements? But this, let me digress. So my question to you is, should this only apply, if we're going to incrementally do this, should this only apply to concealed carry permit holders like me, or this, should this apply to everybody that is that does not have a concealed carry permit, but law-abiding gun proponents? That is the big question. And Roger, I get it that you don't know the state's laws, but a judge will tell you ignorance of the law
is no excuse.
Is no excuse.
And you can be thrown in jail for it.
And you can be thrown in the jail for that. So that is the big question I would like to ask you out there. Should it be done just for concealed carry permit holders, or should there be a federal law for law-abiding gun owners that sits back and says, hey, if I, like Roger said, when it comes to marriage, but marriage is not constitutionally recognized, should I be able to go from state to state?
Who do you think it would be less regulated then?
Yeah, without fear. By the way, according to the driver's license, if you move from state to state, mm-hmm. you got to renew that driver's license.
Eventually.
Yes, eventually.
But you can visit that state and use that
true,
driver's license.
But that ID.
Yeah.
Well, Roger, but the ID is not constitutionally recognized. Okay. So that's my question to you on this topic. Should we? And by the way, is the left correct? What about states' rights? Should the state have the right to do this and not recognize another state? That is a very interesting question we pose as well. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831-0600-904-831-0600. I want to take your calls coming up next. I want to give you guys plenty of time. I'm up against a break. I want to start off with Amy and others. So my question to you, should there be a federal law that says that all of the states must recognize one state's law when it comes to the issue of guns, concealed carry permits, if they want to cross its state lines, or let's exclude concealed carry permits, should it be all law-abiding gun owners? Should they ignore, some would say, states' rights? That's what some of you have been emailing me. Ed, hey, listen, I'm a Second Amendment guy, but the state has the right to do that, and I got to be consistent. I like states' rights. That's the question we're posing to you. 831-0600-904-831-0600. Your calls are up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
295 South on the Buckman Bridge that's going toward Mandarin. A broken down car now on the left shoulder. 95 North, check that, just before Southside Boulevard. There's a crash. It's on the right. It's causing a lot of backup. And 295 North at Normandy Boulevard, another car broken down on the right.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Florida's Everglades, a sportsman's paradise, an angler's wonderland, and a big part of Florida's economy. But today, Florida's Everglades is on life support. Florida is doing its part, but now the politicians in Washington are dragging their feet. Don't let Florida's Everglades get swamped by DC politics. Visit EvergladesFoundation.org to learn how you can help.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Sean Robinson Realty has the ultimate real estate proposition for you. Own your own home. Sean Robinson Realty has likely sold or listed a property near you. If you close a home with Sean Robinson Realty, he'll give you a brand new big screen HD TV. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-77-SHAWN. Sean Robinson Realty is your one stop for all of your real estate needs. Residential sales, commercial leases, or property management. Locally owned and operated by people who know your community. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property, don't waste your time. Call Sean Robinson Realty. Imagine getting a free big screen HD TV upon closing. Sean Robinson Realty will do it. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty.
I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is what you missed on America First. Bloomberg is going to announce that he's running for president. That is an utter and complete indictment of the whole struggle bus. A man who really has the charisma of an old shoe that your dog has chewed over the years. He's getting into the race. What does that mean? It means that they're in trouble.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB.
Lots of sunshine today and a high of 72. We may see some clouds roll in by afternoon. Cloudy tonight with a low of 62. Right now it's 45 degrees here at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. More states are looking to increase online sports gambling. The U.S. Senate may be taking up a bill that will allow gun owners to transport their firearms across state lines. And a new study finds that alcohol-related deaths in the U.S. have more than doubled over the past 20 years.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Amy on line one. Amy, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. I'm curious if a law-abiding gun owner carries a gun from Florida to Georgia, that's considered a crime?
Well, unless the states recognize, I think the state government can, which I do like, if Georgia wants to recognize Florida's gun laws and allows it in their states, sometimes, as they say, it's an interstate agreement with some of that out there. But, for example, you can't go to New Jersey and they won't recognize Florida's gun laws at all.
Well, and I was just wondering, like, if hundreds or thousands of people are evacuating during a hurricane are there thousands of people that are, you know, breaking the law then? Or
great.
If they get pulled over, they can, that state will, wherever they're evacuating to, will stop them?
Great question, Amy. That is, I cannot answer, but it's a great question.
Okay.
No, I appreciate it. That's what I was asking. So let's go to line three. Let's go to Ann. Hey, Ann, good morning.
Hi, good morning. When I go to another state and I'm hunting or I'm shooting, whether it be at a gun range or sporting clays or whatever, I educate myself on those laws and I abide by whatever weapon restrictions, ammunition restrictions, etc. But my car, my vehicle is an extension of my castle. And if I have guns in my car and I'm driving around, dude, sorry, I'm going to go through your state with my weapons and go out of your state with my weapon. And if I stay over at a hotel because I'm ready to die and exhausted, well, they're in my car. Get over it. And as far as New York and New Jersey, who the hell wants to go there anyway?
I like her. Hey, Ann, here's the question.
What about Broadway? Come on.
Yeah, but anyway, you can't use the word broad anymore. That's politically insensitive, okay? Anyway, that's what I've been told by females from the left. Hey, Ann, here's the question. You probably, not to get legalese here, but think about it for a second. isn't your car part of your property? Isn't part of your, I mean, when you pay for a service in the hotel, you have property on you. So when they say that, for example, well, if they can't come to your property and take it away, am I being too legalese or am I being semi-correct?
I don't know.
That's what I'm asking.
And again, when Amy brought up as far as the hurricane and all that, I guarantee you, if we're leaving here, we have to have two vehicles, okay? And we're full. So, in my experience, we do a lot of hunting in other states, and
right.
The reciprocity is fairly fine. It's a pain in the neck to fly with them, although, you can. There's rules, and we follow them. But this idea, they're just trying to make criminals out of law-abiding citizens by this crap. It's absolutely ridiculous. And frankly, a police officer, when they pull me over, doesn't need to ask me if I have a weapon in my car. If I've done something wrong or given them some reasonable suspicion to search me, fine. But you better have some reasonable suspicion because you're not searching my car. That's my right.
All right. And you sound like a deputy. I like
you. If police ask you, though, if you have a gun in your car, are you going to lie to them or are you going to say, I refuse to answer that question?
You say, I refuse to answer. Huh. Here's the thing. She brings up an interesting point. Police will profile you. And they should, by the way. They will stereotype. And they should, by the way, because they look at this, they see what's going on. They see you talking too much or it looks like you're on day three and whatever. They're gonna take a look. Otherwise, they're not going to. I like what she says. She goes, I educate myself. Personally, I'm going to tell you right now, I hunt in another state.
Yeah.
When I have a concealed carry permit, I don't want to have to worry about whether I get pulled over or not.
We've got the internet today. If you know you're going to drive to Virginia,
yes.
So you're going to check the laws for Georgia, South, North Carolina
find
out going through the area.
Yes, you should. By the way, you have to check out their speeding limits. You check that out once you get on the road. Some of us don't because we use Waze. Let's go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, Ed.
Hey.
I'm going to answer Amy's question for her. The car is not our Georgia has reciprocity with us, so if you got a concealed carry permit in Florida, you're good to go in Georgia. But the issue really is, for what y'all are discussing, is every court, state Supreme Court, going all the way back to the early 1800s, said that the right to bear arms means the right to open carry, and that the legislature can regulate and require a license for concealed carry, but not for open carry. Then if we want to talk about interstate transport on an open carry basis, what we really have to look at is the Interstate Commerce Clause and the right to travel state to state. And and the 14th Amendment. The Civil War settled some of the issues of states' rights. We passed the 14th Amendment, and it says that the privileges and immunities of the various citizens are protected, and interstate travel has always been a right. But your question about marriage licenses, it's because they're a judicial act. Judicial acts require interstate recognition. Driver's licenses are only recognized interstate because of an interstate driver's license compact between all 50 states.
Let me ask this question. If would you have said that they recognize open carry, then and I'm being redundant here, but why is it, like, for example, State Representative Anthony Sabatini out of Lake County and other states are pushing for, quote, open carry laws then?
Well, because the Florida Supreme Court in 2017 was the first ever state Supreme Court to rule that open carry was not a right under the Constitution and that the state could restrict open carry in favor of requiring you to get a license and concealed carry. The founders in the early court decisions on this issue were very clear that concealed carry was the method of criminals and the up to no good and could lead to fights being started where a person was secretly armed.
All right, listen, I apologize. I didn't realize I was way over in a break. I understand where you're coming from, but I want to get to more of this discussion. I got to take a quick break. I'll be on hold. I'm going to get to more of your calls. Eric, always good to talk to you. I didn't realize Roger's waving me down. 56 minutes after 7 a.m. Talk Radio, WBOB.
At I-295 South on the Buckman Bridge going toward Mandarin, a broken down car now blocks the left shoulder, and 95 North just before Southside, there's been a wreck.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Uber offers riders four-digit PIN codes for safety. Mortgage interest rates in the spotlight. Paris retailers are struggling as the French nationwide worker strike continues. Those stories next.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions are posted at textrules.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated marketing text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Tom from K11, and I have one question for you. What size socks are you wearing right now? If you're like everyone else I've asked, you simply don't know. How could you? That's because until now, socks were made in one size fits all or just a couple of sizes to fit every size foot. But not at Kane 11. We make our socks in 11 individual sizes, from 7 to 17. That's right, 7 to 17. Great looks and colors to fit everyone's lifestyle. From cotton to wool or anything in between, Kane 11's got the perfect sock for you. Better yarns, better quality, just a better sock. If you don't love them just like we do, send them back for a full refund. That's the Kane 11 promise. Once you wear a pair of Kane 11's, I guarantee you'll never go back to wearing socks in multi-size ranges again.
Save 20% off your first order when you text SOCKS to 246810. That's text SOCKS to 246810. Text SOCKS to 246810.
Effective immediately, ride-hailing service Uber offering four-digit PIN codes to riders. That's so they know they're getting into the right car. The codes in response to the murder of a South Carolina college student. She got into the car of a man impersonating an Uber driver. A nationwide French union workers' strike is now in its fifth week. Retail shops in Paris reporting declines in sales of between 30 and 50%. That strike, aimed at blocking pension reform, shows no sign of ending. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac releasing the latest weekly mortgage rates today. Home builders and realtors ecstatic over the past few months as mortgage interest rates remain steady at historically low levels, easing the path particularly for first-time home buyers. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
What would you do if you knew skills designed to help you generate income and build confidence toward your retirement goals? Get started by joining the more than 500,000 people who've attended a class at Online Trading Academy. The first introductory class is free. Call 888-618-9352 to register in this new year. That's 888-618-9352, 888-618-9352, or otaclass.com.
Do you want to offer insurance to your employees but think it's too expensive? Florida Care Insurance is here to tell you that employee benefits can be much more affordable than you realize. If you can afford to give your employee a $2 raise, then you can afford employee benefits that will make you more competitive and help acquire and maintain quality employees. Let us help you invest in your company. Go to groupbenefits.solutions or call 265-4753. No matter the company size, they can help. Call 265-4753. For your employee benefit solution.
All right, checking out. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Coming up next, Gene Miller, from lawyer, commentator, also with the Jacksonville Civic Council. We're going to talk a lot of these issues we brought up this morning. Your phone calls coming up next. Those of you on hold, like Dick and others, you guys are coming up next. 831-0600-904-831-0600. It's Ed and Roger coming up more at 8 a.m. on Talk Radio WBOB.